Democrats are moving forward with a budget maneuver to pass a nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill without support from Republicans. A group of 10 Republican senators met with President Biden on Monday to pitch a smaller relief package. But in a call with Senate Democrats yesterday, Biden urged his party to stay focused on a more ambitious bill. Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat from Virginia, was on that call, and he joins us now. Senator, good to speak with you again.
Peter, good to talk again. Thanks.
And what did you hear from the president at this virtual lunch meeting with Democrats yesterday? What did he ask of you?
Peter, it was very simple. He said, go big and be prompt because Americans are suffering. So, you know, we talked about COVID and it was President Biden and Treasury Secretary Yellen. And that was really the message. We can't do small because the needs are too great. We can't delay because the needs are too urgent. And so now's the time to use that Senate majority to ease a lot of suffering in Americans' health and in the American economy.
So when the president says go big, does that signal to you that Democrats will be using budget reconciliation to get that bill passed without Republican support? Is that what you've essentially committed to at this point?
Not really. I would say the first half is likely using reconciliation. The second half without Republican support, we're not conceding because, as you know, budget reconciliation is a tool. It's been used to pass some of the most popular bipartisan legislation there is, like CHIP or the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's also been used for partisan purposes, like the Republican effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act. It's a tool. One thing I feel very confident about is that this bill is going to include a tremendous number of priorities that Republicans have asked for. I don't know whether the Republicans at the end of the day will do one of these things like they did under President Obama. We don't care what's in it. We're all voting against it. But I think if you will look at the substance of the bill that's going to be passed, you will see that it's a lot more like the bipartisan bills that budget reconciliation has been used for than the partisan ones.
Okay, so let's go through some of the areas where you think there might be room for change. I'm thinking, first of all, the $1,400 checks to many Americans,
yes,
because not everyone who would get a check is actually struggling right now, and Republicans want to lower that income threshold. Is that something that you're willing to do?
I think that President Biden has said he's open to that, and I am too. I think the $1,400 is necessary, but where you set the threshold, do you have that $1,400 up to some an individual making $75,000 and then start to fade out between $75,000 and $100,000, or do you do $1,400 up to $50,000 and have it start to fade for an individual, double that for a married filing jointly? I think that's very negotiable. If you do that and you save dollars, you know, you may be able to put that into more vaccines or something like that. So I think that's very much on the table.
On the issue of a $15 federal minimum wage, your colleague Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, has suggested that he wants to get rid of that in order to support this bill. Is that something that you're willing to compromise on?
I'm a strong supporter of the $15 minimum wage. Have been for a while. As you know, we haven't changed the minimum wage for a very long time. People who work full-time for minimum wage, if they've got a dependent or two, they're working full-time and they're at or below the poverty level in many of our communities. So I think we need to raise the minimum wage to that. If we use a reconciliation vehicle, we need every Democratic vote and possibly a tiebreaker from the vice president.
And you might not get Joe Manchin's vote if you support the $15 minimum wage.
One or two Democrats, if they hold out on the $15 minimum wage, it could make it hard to include that in a package that was going to be successful. But we're going to keep working on it.
Yeah. Some economists have pointed out that the amount of money the government has already spent and will spend with this bill if and when it gets passed is more than the economic losses from the pandemic. How do you justify that, the nearly $2 trillion price tag on this bill?
Well, that there's economic losses to the pandemic, but there's also health losses. You know, in the last 10 days, three friends of mine have died of COVID. My wife and I have had COVID. We are seeing death at an unprecedented scale. So the way to measure the impact to America is not just economic losses. There's also these massive healthcare losses, mental health needs of people who have suffered, who've watched family members die, who haven't been able to be with a parent or spouse as they were dying. There's going to be significant mental health needs for our first responders, like our healthcare providers. So you're going to have some significant down the road losses in the housing space. So I think the size of these packages, beginning with the CARES Act in March, is justified by the once-in-a-hundred-year nature of this pandemic and just the complete shock to America's economy, to our health and well-being.
I am sorry to hear about your friends, and it has been a very difficult time for many people, which is why I want to just ask you, I want to go back to this idea of compromise. You do have a group of 10 Republicans who are willing to work with you. You've suggested that some of the Republican priorities could make their way into this bill, but why not set reconciliation aside for right now and dedicate all your effort to striking a deal that would make good on the president's promise to find unity in these very divided and difficult times in our history?
Yeah, Peter, again, I'm going to challenge the premise that reconciliation is the opposite of bipartisanship. That's not the case. Reconciliation is a tool that was put into the Budget Control Act of 1974, and it's often been used to accomplish important bipartisan objectives. And that's why it's extremely important that President Biden meet with 10 Republicans and talk to them about their priorities. And I'm doing the same thing with my colleagues. We all are. But if at the end of the day, we put together a bill that shows we've listened to our voters, but we've also listened to our Republican colleagues and tried really hard to reflect their priorities, they can decide whether they want to vote for it or not. But I don't think using reconciliation is about partisanship. I think it's about speed. And that's why the tool was created in the first place, to enable us to do big things when the country needs it with a sense of urgency.
Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, thank you so much.
You bet, Peter. Take care.